I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast, proudly brought to you by our partners at Code Sports. On to talk about Supercoach. We're coming into round 12, the first round of the buys. And I've got Pistol with me tonight to talk over some really interesting topics, Pistol. Usually this is probably the week of the year that we can kind of de-stress and not have to worry about too much. There's never any trades going on, you know. We're just waiting for the first buy to get out of the way and then move into the next week. But there's carnage! There's carnage, Pistol! I don't have enough players for my premiums to be killing everyone on the field. Stop getting suspended. What's happening? Hey, Pistol, how are you going?
That was a great opening. Cold opening. Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast. I think it's crazy that, one, we spend so much time planning every year for the buyers and then this happens and you're like, oh, well, that happened again. When will we learn? But also just the carnage. It's not even Thursday and the carnage has happened. Like, it's Monday. There's time for it to get worse, Chizo.
I've never been so stressed out about a round at 9:30 a.m. on a Monday morning. Like, who are these, like, Twitter detectives that go out of their way to try and get players banned just to screw that? And I specifically think it's because of people that are dirty, that they're just not very good at Supercoach. They just go trawling through Twitter and try, oh, I've got this little clip of Rory Laird doing a tackle, ban him. It's killing me, man. It's killing my team. Like, I literally, as you said, had everything planned, and then now doesn't matter what I do with my three trades, I can't field 18 now. Unless, like, Constable comes back from the wilderness.
He might, maybe. I mean, fingers crossed, but yeah, it's...
We've got to manifest it, Pistol. We've got to manifest a Constable return.
I mean, I feel like we got to get through all the... We'll break into your team specifically, Chizo, but maybe we should get through the housekeeping first.
Man, there's no one breaking into my team, that's for sure. I had a 23-44 Pistol, which I was reasonably happy with. I'm like, oh, I probably won't lose ranks. I actually fell to 11-68 this week. And I was a little bit dejected. I've been looking forward to this cracking the top 1K for a couple of weeks now since I've been on this bull run. How did you go? I noticed that I got up over top of you in Div 2 AFL Doodles League.
Yeah, well, teams were nearly the same and you had Sicily and I didn't. So I was like, oh, well, this is not a great start for me.
Don't compare your team to mine.
Yeah, 22-77.
No,
it was 22-77 from me, Chizo. I fell to 2,252nd. So not right where I want to be before the buys. The team is slowly degrading into nothing. Team value really low because cash gen's really low. Obviously hitting the struggles with everybody else, except I don't have Sicily, which makes my week a little bit easier this round to navigate. But that's about the only positive about not having Sicily at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, we should have known that he could potentially play forward in round 14 after playing a quarter there in the preseason, or get suspended from his suspension history from 3 years ago. We should have known that, Pistol. We really should have, and been cognizant of it and informed our trades to not pick him. That's a very, very long callback for any of our long-term listeners. Pistol, I do want to – like, your super coach is being kicked around a little bit. I just want to give you this opportunity to tell the world how you're going in DT, that you play in your spare time.
Yeah, I'm coming third overall in Real Dream.
You're coming third!
It's funny what happens when you have two teams, you know, Supercoach and Dream Team, and one thing, everything goes wrong, and one thing, everything goes right. Like whenever I'm doing a 50-50 for the beginning part of the season, I would do the other 50-50 in my Dream Team, and I'd do the other one in Supercoach. Yeah. And I just kept doing that for the first, I don't know, 6-7 rounds, and I'm like, my Dream Team's really good, and now I'm just going to be doing similar trades, and it's been working so far, so yeah.
Just going to keep going for it. Like I remember at one stage you were trying to explain how you ended up with Max Holmes in your team.
yeah. it's not even that funny of a story. I just remember like loopholing, and I think my rookie that I was loopholing got like 19, and everyone else was going to have them on field. It was right at the beginning of the season. And I was just like, there's one game left of the round and I can only choose a Geelong player, basically. And I was like, I guess I'll get Max Holmes. And it worked out really well until it didn't.
Well, congrats, mate, on coming third. You can just come back at least six spots so you don't get to say that you've finished higher than eighth. So that would be greatly, greatly appreciated.
Pistol, we've long also way got to go,
the news. We've also got the news of the Dr. Supercoach Cup for 2023 will be a 9-round cup starting in round 16. Based on the entries that we had last year, it was looking like it was going to be a 1,024 entrant size, but that would have meant we'd have to start in round 15, which is obviously a bye round and could influence a few scores of the good team. So we're going to start in round 16, which means we've only got a 512 spot league, just like we did last year. Or cup like we did last year. So if we have more entrants, it's going to be the people that follow the right instructions and get added into the group, etc. So that's only a few weeks away as well, Pistol. So you've got enough time to get your super coach kind of sorted. We've got no sign-ups over on Patreon this week. Perhaps that changed now that the cup's about to get underway. But Pistol, you've got some Cancer Council donations lastly in the housekeeping.
We do. To Warren, he says, donating for leaving the E off Marshall a couple of weeks ago, costing me 90 points and a victory in the rivalry league. Also trading in Steel for a 62 and benching Angwin 61. One more, trying to be clever, doing the last min switch from Marshall C to Stu C and forgetting that he's watching the KO Delayo, so missing out on being able to take the Stuart C, which all of this bugger. Is tragic. Yeah, not good. But thank you for the donation. Very much appreciated. And Whitey has donated, says, donating for dumb things. I traded in Sicily this week and I put the VC on him. Congrats, Whitey. That's awesome. So I thought. I should have kept reading. Last minute, I decided to trade Wilmot for Wardlaw rather than Shinkota for Ford. Okay. Forgot to reset the VC. But wait, there's more. Before realizing this, I put the C on Madden just before the GWS game. So now it's locked in, and I have to take Goulden's 93 rather than being able to put it on someone like Bontempelli. So I lost 79 points, but the Cancer Council is $79 better off. So swings and roundabouts. Week ruined, and wow. I'm angry at myself. And thank you very much for a very generous donation, Whitey. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, generous donation. Thanks, Whitey. Okay, Pistol, some news off the top here in terms of our Supercoach teams. Sicily and Laird have both been given a one-week suspension for their hits during the week. The Hawks have accepted Sicily's ban, and Laird, I believe the Crows are challenging Laird's ban, which I think he's already been off. He's already gotten off one so far this year, Pistol, if I'm not wrong there. So
yeah,
potentially we get Laird back, but Sicily's also gone. In other injury news, we've got Darcy with a hammy for the medium term. Not that he would be playing this week, but he's going to be out for quite a few weeks, and he's a definite trade as well, Pistol.
I mean, yeah, I think, firstly, all of this is terrible news. Very, very frustrating, yeah. Especially like 1 week is Sicily and Laird. It's not like you can trade them either. So you kind of just have to cop it. Darcy has a perfect bailout option in Briggs just popping up at like the perfect possible timing, 250K.
Yeah, couldn't be better.
Oh, I mean, he's going to make before the last – he'll make up over 100K before his round 15 bye anyway. But you could just, considering you can play him on field, just upgrade him last. You know, Briggs could make a lot of money, and he's scoring really – he's scoring almost premium numbers. So just ride the hot wave at the moment, the hot hand and the wave, both of them mixed up in the same analogy.
The hot wave.
Chizo, just is like it a spa as simple wave as that pool. For Darcy owners?
Yeah, I think it is. And look, unless you can go up, I think it's as easy as getting Briggs this week. You mentioned that he's going to make 100K by his buy. He will. He's going to make 102K. But that's also based off a projected score of 68, 78, and 82. And he's coming off the back of 109 and 102. Look, I don't think that premium scoring is going to be something that we can be like, it's going to be consistent, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
He comes up against Nank for Richmond, Goldie at North, and then Jackson for Frio, who's likely going to be taking the mantle there. So there's absolutely upside there. And the thing for Briggs is it's not like he's in there because of an injury. He's in there based on pure form and then wanting to get a clean run of games into him as well. So he's one that sort of came of left field that I hadn't really been paying attention to until people had started in kind of talking about it in the community and in Slack, that I almost think that he is a better option just because of the cash gen you're going to get from him in a position where, you know, like if you're looking in my team, for example, I'm going to have 7 players in the defense line that are going to be available this week, and I literally can't get the 7th on field, even though I'm that dire. So having a ruck option might be one of those situations where you actually get an extra player on field as well. So there's multiple upsides for that. But I think that the simplest option for me, if I had Darcy and I like had the cash to get one of the big guys in the ruck line, I would also have no hesitation doing that either. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I would take the cash now, knowing that cash gen is a worry, and then
so you would go down.
Yeah, I'd go down so I could just upgrade elsewhere, maybe get a dead rookie off field. You've got 3 trades, might be able to, you know, get forward from another downgrade and then do an upgrade somewhere else for another premium, and that's probably how I would play the situation. But I mean, there's a lot to talk about with these rookies, Chizo. I mean, firstly, forward looks really good. Like he's not playing as a forward pocket.
Good role.
Yeah, he's running. He was collecting possessions in the D50 at times, running up the wing that far. So we saw him have, I think it was 9 touches at 100% efficiency on the weekend. He was on like 51 at halftime and it's put out 2 good scores now. So I think he's pretty much a lock because his role is amazing, and he'll also make over 100K before his buy. So quick cash, good cash, looks like a solid player. You know, I can't see a world where everyone's not bringing him in. The one where it gets questionable now is if you needed 2 downgrades, and then if you're deciding between someone like Briggs and you're deciding between someone like Wardlaw, because Wardlaw is 193K and he didn't score well against Collingwood, but his role was decent. I think it was 54% CBAs. So he's getting midfield time, and to be fair, I think he played better than his score. He missed a set shot at goal, and he also dropped a sitter that would have been a certain goal. You know, just nerves. I think once he kicks his first goal, he'll definitely be a lot more settled. But I don't think he's going to make any money before his buy. So you can't, if you're not going to trade him out at his buy, are you just robbing Peter to pay Paul, getting a number this week just to cop a donut in round 15?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's why the podcasters themselves never go early on players like this, do they, Pistol?
Yeah, I already have Wardlaw.
Sorry, threw you under the bus there, mate. Yeah, look, I agree. I think he is going to be a fantastic player, and like you can see why he's gone so high in the draft. He's got all the assets to potentially make him a fantastic mid in the future. But if it wasn't for Briggs presenting such a quick cash option, I think I wouldn't have any problem going Wardlaw, because like at least you're making some cash. And by the time that like that cash is extinguished, let's say he makes 80K, like you're trading someone out that's like 270, and you can sort of do something with that, as opposed to getting like a nothing
yeah.
rookie that, you know, let's say like a Sturt who's just putting back-to-back 40s every week and is never going to make cash to actually do anything with. So like without Briggs, I can see Wardlaw like no problem as a trade-in. I see a lot of people doing that. But I just think the fact that Briggs can give us 100K in 3 weeks and then becomes a really easy out option by his buy, it seems like a really simple straightforward decision, like unemotional, just chase whatever's going to make you the most money?
From a money perspective, yes. But for most people, if you have Marshall and you have English, you can only get Briggs on this week. And then for all the other weeks, he's on your bench. He doesn't make your field.
Yeah, correct.
But Wardlaw gives you three rounds of scoring, which given how the rounds are going, you might need that score on field for the 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So does that change your perspective at all?
I wouldn't say a whole lot because next week you're not going to need him anyway. Like the majority obviously are going to have 18 premiums.
Don't
playing,
jinx it.
So even if you we're going to have 18 premiums playing universe. I'm actually I'm looking up, waiting for the lightning bolt to come down through the roof. So round 14 becomes the thing that you've got to sit there and maybe go a few trades ahead of time and get the pen and paper out and go old school or get the Excel spreadsheet or just use your mind like Pistol. He doesn't actually use a computer. This is I'm just connecting to his interface through his ear. That's going to tell you if you're going to have enough players. If you don't need him on field, then you don't need him on field, depending how your buy structure is. I'm actually pretty good for round 14, so it's less of a concern for me because I've gone so heavy on round 12 premiums in the upgrades over the last month. So it's going to be team dependent, but I know for you, Pistol, round 15 is going to be difficult and potentially round 14 as well. So is that something that you're taking into consideration? And if you hadn't got Wardlaw, you would be getting him over Briggs?
Yeah, I think it's there's a couple of things to weigh up. One, you look at Briggs's 250K, which is just more of an initial investment. I definitely don't doubt that he's going to make more money because he is. He's 100% making more money. But that extra 60K might impact your trades this week. And then I'm also thinking, well, if I look forward 1 week, Fife is 244K, and I know Briggs is going to make more money than Fife, but Fife is going to play in round 15 when Briggs is not. So you're going to get three games from Fife on field, who knows how he's going to score, to be honest. But one, he's got that DPP. Two, he's going to be playing. And three, like you could hold him as cover for the rest of the season. And I feel like if anyone's going to have spike games, it's going to be Fife, right? And then you can loop him when you want. So you potentially, I guess in the same breath as Wardlaw, you potentially are buying cover for the rest of the season and not trading him out. So I think it's very much on the cards to just do a singular downgrade to forward, pass on Briggs, pass on Wardlaw, and next week get Fife and then just go from there because he's going to play in round 15.
Yeah.
Briggs doesn't, and that might cost people a donut or force them into a trade that they may not have. I know he's going to make a lot of cash, Chizo, but people's trades are low, and if you're using one to get him in and you're using one certainly to get him out to bank that cash, that's just a risk for some people that they won't be able to finish their team trade-wise, not even cash-wise.
And the potential comes in, you know, what if he has a game where he doesn't put up good numbers and doesn't make the cash that we initially wanted? Like the two trades that you're spending on is basically only revolving around the fact that he's going to be one of the last players that you can get 100K out of quickly.
I mean, it's not risk-free. I do think that he's going to make the most money still. So if you have the trades and you need the money, then I think that's probably the play for you. But I think for most, not most people, but I think it's underrated that you can pass and potentially, I mean, look, Fife's role, I think he was on like 45 at halftime or something like that. He was playing, I think it was 46% CBAs. Darcy went down. Jackson went to the ruck. Fife went forward, as you would kind of expect when Darcy goes down. And then Fife was just really tired. It was his first game, full game in a long time, and he just couldn't run out the last quarter. And now he's got a week off, and then he's going to be hopefully playing full-time mid again when he comes back. So I think there's more to see from Fife. I'm not saying he's going to average 100, but you could be getting 70s out of him. He's got a break even at 29. So if you get 70s from a guy throughout the buys and you get him in round 15 to save you a donut, that might be worth it over Briggs in the long term.
Sure. The next one that is probably worth mentioning, Ned Long from the Hawks, 165,700. He had 34 touches, 9 tackles and 3 goals on the weekend.
What a game.
Obviously, Sicily is coming out. Not necessarily that they're like for like, but potentially he could also be someone playing a bubble game looking to go up in cash as well. Would you consider him over Ward? I mean, obviously if you're going for cash, you're picking Briggs over Wardlaw, but would you consider Ned Long over Wardlaw?
It's a great question. I probably wouldn't just because of the job security. I feel like Wardlaw should play every game for North Melbourne. The problem is, like, Greenwood was their number one mid. Phillips looks really good. Probably, you know, him and Simpkin number two mids for at least the next week. And then LDU is going to come back from his hammy. And then what happens? They just have, like, one too many midfielders. I don't know if that just means Sheasel plays out of the mid entirely and plays either forward or back, but
Ned Long for Hawks.
No, I know. I'm just saying North Melbourne's like a week-by-week proposition, so it's really hard for me to compare Wardlaw to Ned Long.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah. I was like,
well, no, I'm wrapping up.
I was so lost in the, I was lost in the maze of Pistol there for a second.
I'm like, if I have to compare, I'm like, what version of Wardlaw am I comparing? I'm comparing him to like
four weeks'
time Wardlaw, where I don't know what role in the uncertainty, or am I comparing it? And it's a hard question because I feel like similarly with Hawks, Long could get into the side, but is he going to have the role? Probably not. Probably gets
shot
forward.
Yeah. Gotcha. So yeah, he's not going to be just running free using that AFL tank against VFL players. Like, I mean, not that it's like play like an adult playing against kids, but we're seeing Constable average 30 touches in the VFL, so clearly there's not much chop in the VFL.
Yeah.
Is there enough talent to have a 19th team? I guess we'll see. So by the same sort of logic, you'd be passing on the likes of Fleeton and Constable if they both came back. They're not players on your horizon to try and bring in either.
I think not really. The players that are on my horizon.
You paused.
Will be. I'm thinking it's the mid-season draft is the most important part of this podcast, and it hasn't happened yet. It happens on Wednesday. So the mid-season draft, we will see teams' intentions by who they pick, and if they're picking players that they're in desperate need of, like height-wise, position-wise, whatever it is, they might debut immediately. And if that's the case, they're the guys, the 102K rookies that come into the team. They're the guys that we're going to want to get. So pretty much most of this podcast, I hate to say it, Chizo, is going to be irrelevant by Wednesday because there could be there could be one amazing rookie option that looks better than all these guys. There could be five amazing rookie options and we're sitting here like, oh my days, we got five options. This is the best thing ever. Like, it's too hard to predict. So I wouldn't be tied to any of your ideas on the Monday. It goes for everyone. I wouldn't be tied to any ideas this week until we see what happens in the rookie draft. It's literally the most important part of this whole week.
Yeah. And look, in a callback, most people would say that this podcast is always irrelevant. So luckily we get through to Wednesday before that happens. The one thing we do know for sure from the mid-season draft is that the Bombers are going to pick up another VFL player from Richmond. It just seems to happen and they seem to come in and play. So I'm pretty sure on the weekend or the weekend before, we had more Richmond VFL players or more mid-season draft players in our starting 22 than we had top 10 draft picks that we've picked in the last 3 years.
It's certainly on the cards to happen again, but there's so many teams, West Coast and Richmond and stuff, where I could see a needs player coming in and playing a role straight away. Like, these could be guys that, if they're named...
West Coast must have 10 picks in the draft, surely.
They might. But it's people that you could potentially... You see them named. You don't want to go early on someone, but you're like, well, they've drafted them for a reason. Like, I wonder... I don't know the stats. I probably should have looked it up before the podcast. How many preseason picks are coming for one game and then never play again? It can't be that high. Surely they come in, they get given a go, and then we see what they... And anyway, it's for a discussion at a later
time. Josh Burns is high.
Was he mid-season?
Nah.
No, didn't think so.
Just talking about players that come in for a couple of games and we never see again.
But these ones are drafted for a specific reason. Like, they're picked up for a role. It's rare to do what North did with, like, what was it, Luke Edwards, I think his name was. So they drafted him for, like, a long-term future rather than just, like, someone for, like, I immediately need help right now. I mean, we'll see what happens with Naismith. If Swans go back to that well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I mean, that kills McAndrew as a... What, yeah, is it Lockie McAndrew? Yeah.
Yes.
MacArthur? Yep. McAndrew? I can't remember. I don't have any fun with my...
No, McAndrew. What are you doing to me?
My computer screen's closed, so I actually can't see anything.
There is no computer. We're just
I'm
into
blind.
Your chip right now.
No, at some point, at like the five-minute mark, my screen went black, and then my recording screen I can see working. My other screen is black, so I've just been, you know, freeballing this whole podcast, basically. And, yeah, so... I think we see what happens. I don't even know what they would price Naismith at if he does make a return. But players like that could come in and make a straightaway impact into our thoughts and Supercoach teams, depending on, you know, position, DPP, all that sort of jazz. Chizo, because I'm going to keep waffling on about the mid-season draft and its importance, just a quick question for you. If you owned Ashcroft and you saw his poor score after two amazing scores, when would the time in your eyes be to get rid of him?
Now.
And why is that?
Because he's nothing more than a piggy bank, and he's going to be losing his piggy banks from this point forward. So at his buy, he's a perfect upgrade. It's also less cash to get him to someone half decent.
And what about needing, you know, I can't even... I'm trying to like press on my computer and nothing's coming up. I don't know what his break even is. So I think off the top of my head.
His break even's 109.
Okay, 109. Is it not kind of. I think they play Hawks at the MCG in round 13, if I recall. And then Swans at the Gabba at round 14.
Yeah, what's round 15? Keep going.
Jeez. I don't know. It's St Kilda, right?
It's St Kilda. Nice. Yeah,
there we go. I looked at
it. Where do they play, though?
It's that one's at Marvel. I remember they were well, back to back.
Okay, what's after St Kilda?
God, I got no idea. I only looked at the bye.
Richmond at the G. Boo.
Oh, then Richmond, Gabba, and then West Coast Gabba, right?
West Coast Eagles. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I was thinking maybe I keep in Dream Team. Maybe I keep Ashcroft all the way to round 17. It's just a question of do you have enough players for round 15 and how much money is Ashcroft going to lose before then? Because you would hate for him to drop, you know, 60K before the round 15 and you just like lose this piggyback, as you called him. I think it's possible you could try and wait one more week knowing you're going to cop a small price drop. He does have Hawthorn, so you hope that it's a decent score. And then if he scores badly, just get rid of him immediately so you don't lose... you know, a crazy amount of money. And if he scores well again and resets his break even, you can hold all the way through to round 15 and give yourself an extra number. I think that's a strategy. Don't know if it's the right strategy, but
well,
I think that's an alternative strategy.
I think all things going well, he's going to be my 19th player next week. So why am I holding? Look, he's probably going to outscore one of the 18 premiums that I have, like potentially, there's absolutely a chance that happens. But why would I hold him and lose 15 or 20K on the off chance I get an 80 instead of a 70?
Just purely so that you can then reassess and hold him for round 14 and 15 when people might be desperate.
Yeah.
I know you're in a good spot with your round 12 premiums. Most people, I think, are going to be... Struggles with their round 14.
So this sounds like it's less of a question on what Ashcroft can bring to your team other than he's a warm body that's going to be playing in the tough times that you may not
a
have
good warm body,
bodies
though.
On the field for. Yeah, I mean, absolutely true. And if you need someone like that, then absolutely go for it. But if you're banking on the fact that you won't need him in those weeks, then the going back to the question, the most opportune time to trade him in would be now.
I like how at the beginning of the week we get questions like, should I trade Will Day this week? And then by the end of the Monday, It's like we can't afford to trade people like Will Day because we don't have enough players to play. So it's not even worth the discussion.
Yeah, yeah. And look, this is in an ideal world. This is in just under the microscope of like this particular player. If you could get rid of him, when would you do it? It really needs to be a holistic look at your entire team to see what you're going to be looking like in round 14 and round 15. And that's going to be your answer. I'm still planning on moving him on this week just because I've planned a few weeks ahead of time. But the majority of people are not going to be in that situation to get rid of him, I don't think.
Yeah. No. I'm with you. And I've last question from me, Cheese. I'm just throwing them at you off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Irish Nick Dacos, Mullen, do you see him as an option if people are desperate to go early, or would you very cautiously wait for him to be named on his third game?
I would definitely be waiting for him to be named. I've actually, in my Excel planning, I've got him called Cats Spud 102.4. So he's definitely in my plans. It's just because I forgot his name when I was doing the Excel. But actually,
you forgot Irish Nick Dacos?
Yeah, I did. I've never heard him actually called that until you said that in the pre-podcast chat. I'm looking at him as a downgrade option in a few weeks' time, but I have such little knowledge and exposure of what he is that going early on him would be way different than going early on, say, a Wardlaw last week, where you're buying into, you sort of know what you're getting. But I liked what I saw in the first half. He was a little bit quieter in the second half, but I think he has the potential to certainly keep his role in that team. So for that reason, I'm definitely looking at him, but you get to be able to pick him up after the round 12 bye, basically. So sorry, after his bye, you'd be looking to pick him up. So I don't think there's any need to be going early on him, considering that that's 3 weeks away.
Yeah, it's hard because some people will be desperate, but I think maybe a mid-season draft pick might be better than that because Geelong have so many injuries that are returning as well. So job security-wise, can't be that good. I know that he's the Irish Nick Dacos and all, but it's I'm unsure if the abilities match the nickname.
Yeah, the nickname. Nice. I see what you did there. In other one-gamers that we could be looking at, Lewis Melican, the Pelican, is he someone that you could be potentially looking at for 170K?
I mean, job security-wise, currently is there, given we don't have a return date for McCartan, Paddy. But we have seen exposed form of his scoring potential before, and it's been bad. It's been very bad. So let's just temper expectations after that one good game. He's not someone I'd like to go early on by a long stretch, and we'll see how he scores. If he puts back-to-back 80s, I'm like, oh, well, maybe he can make a quick buck and play in round 15. But it's very, very possible. Some would say likely that he comes out with a 35 in his next match, and then that's the end of Melick and the Pelican.
I think in the role that he's playing and the kind of mature age that you've got to in his kind of stage of the career, I think he can probably kind of expect someone like the 50s to 60s average quite comfortably. Oh, well, not comfortably, but that's sort of like where I think he would fall, in which case you're probably going to make a bit of cash on him and he's probably going to play. But again, it just becomes one of those situations that even if you do pick him up, you're not really going to be able to extract that profit that you make from him until coming out the end of the buyers, like going into round 16. And so that becomes is he a player that you're just getting in as a downgrade to hold for the rest of the year? So as opposed to someone like a Briggs, potentially, that's just like a really instant cash grab. But I think in terms of the one gamers, I think I've been saying it all year, and I think we've seen repeatedly like a lot of these one-game players not even getting up for their one- and two-game players not getting to their bubble. So like Fleeton's a perfect example. We saw a couple of people go early on Fleeton the other week, and now he's dead in the water as well. So I think you've just got to – I'm very, very firm on just waiting for that bubble to burst before I'm getting on.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Cheese, to throw one more thing at you because that's been the vibe of the podcast, and I apologize. Darcy Cameron, He's back.
He had the ruck this week.
He did. What was it? 88% of ruck battles or whatever he had. So yeah. Cox was basically a pure forward. Cameron, I think, what was it, 77 CBAs, unless I'm, I don't know. I can't remember these things off the top.
That's
of my
a
head.
Lot of CBA. It must have been a lot of goals kicked.
77% CBAs.
No, he's just 77 CBAs.
That is a lot of CBAs. Yeah.
What is this? 1984.
He did have a really strong second half. I was watching the halftime and I was like, I don't know if I want to get him. He does not look good. And then put out a reasonable, I think it was like 50 odd point second half. And then I was like, you know what? You get ruck cover, which is going to be important at some stage, if it isn't now. And I looked it up earlier. It says, he's 471K Chizo, and he had a break even of like 130. Maybe it was 120.
129.
There we go. Close. 130, and he's going to drop a lot of, well, not a lot, but a lot. He's going to drop to a very relevant price for us, you know, 460-ish, back to his starting price. And that timing, potentially, I guess if you want to get him this week, you could, because we've got West Coast, so he might put out a good score. But I think for most of us, we can afford to wait until after the bye, reassess him, see, hey, what's cooking, and then we can, you know, if we, depending on Sheezel's role or trying to get numbers for that buy and we have to sideways trade someone, I think he pops up as a potential relevant forward option that can also cover your ruck line, which is valuable when people are running very low on trades.
Yeah. I haven't necessarily done this in previous years where you're so desperate to get in an F6 that gives you that cover. I suppose it turns out like what you end up doing with Briggs if you're one of those people as well. Like maybe you just get rid of that loophole altogether and have Briggs as your permanent R3. That's also something you can see.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have been saying, oh, what about Luke Jackson now that Darcy's gone down? The problem with Luke Jackson is that he's already 50K or 40K more expensive than Darcy Cameron. Going to be 50K in like maybe 2 weeks before you pick Cameron up off his bye. He's just probably, unfortunately, the timing for Jackson means that, like, I don't really want to be paying 510K for him coming out of his bye, if that makes sense. I think that would be a little bit too expensive as an F6 sort of cover player. So Cameron's price is the attractive part. Like if Cameron was 550K, no one would be talking about him, like, because we're so short on cash. The fact that he is cheap, I think, is the obvious winner for me in terms of that. But, it just goes to show with, like, all of us, like, running low on trades and the premiums going down and people getting banned and all the dead rookies, like, we're going to need this DPP cover more than any other season before, I think, personally.
I mean, is there an option to take Briggs at round 15, you know, goes up, let him appreciate 100K, and then flip him for 100K more for Darcy Cameron?
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
You came up with it. I'm just re-saying it back to you, but you can have the credit for it.
Yeah. No, you incepted. I incepted myself. Yeah. but maybe that could be a play, like a couple of weeks ahead of time. Like, you're bringing Briggs in now, and then he's going to, like, he's not going to top out. Like, he's going to have a little bit more cash to make after
for sure.
He makes that 100K. But he's ideally not going to be a season long keeper. Like, if he puts five games of tons back to back to back, then we've got an issue, because we're going to be like, well, am I going to get rid of a guy that's scoring like that?
Yeah, trade Marshall, trade English.
Yeah, trade. then we are going to be faced with the question, well, like, maybe I just put Sheezel at F6 and get Sinclair, who's going to be bottoming out. I don't know how I put three M's into that. at 510K at like round 15 as we're looking to upgrade. So that's potentially the option that we can look at. But I think the value, look, I've been pretty vocal about it all year that I don't think Cameron's got much upside, like, in terms of like 100 plus. Like, I see him as like a mid 90s ruck.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to be wrong about that, but I'm also happy to not cop six donuts because English does a string or something in round 18 and I've literally run out of trades and have no cover. So I would rather hold Cameron averaging less than what I'd ideally want there.
That's it.
Yeah, to cover that spot. And I think that's literally all it boils down to.
No, that's spot on. I think that's what I'm now looking at, after verbally saying it out loud, I'm like, yeah, it doesn't sound like a bad plan after all.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you a plan that has gone badly for me is that I was looking at the players to trade in, and I was just focused on round 12, and I went with Steele. I didn't really give any, like, I looked at De Goey, I didn't even really think, didn't assess his role that he, his run that he had coming up. And then he scores like 150 on the weekend. And then I looked in, I'm like, oh, he's got a pretty decent run coming up. I feel like Pistol told me that and I just totally ignored it.
Yeah. We definitely spoke about JB and I on the podcast quite a few times.
because he was pretty much the exact same price. Or even cheaper last week than what I went with Steele, maybe 30K cheaper or something like that. And in hindsight, would have been a much better option. It would have made my round 14 much, much more dicey, and in which case I may have been tricked in, or not tricked, but like may have been forced to hold Ashcroft. So that's the trade-off I got with Steele, the Spuds, instead of De Goey.
Speaking of, I guess, hindsight heroes, we've got yeah. Redmond that's just been dominating, and
that's Huggy's heroes.
we've got Redmond that's up to like 470-80 odd K, and then
yeah.
You know, I guess some people jumped on him, others missed opportunity, or maybe didn't want him. Mm-hmm. But now we've got Ridley, what, 428 K? Is it the same? Like, is he as good as Redmond?
No, should you
be looking at Ridley?
No, from a Bombers perspective, I personally think that Redmond has now gone past Ridley in terms of importance to our back line, in terms of our rebounding as well. I think the upside of Ridley is going to be forever capped because Redmond's in that team. Head-to-head, like if they were the same price, I'd be picking Redmond every day of the week, and I think that is going to be what hampers the upside for Ridley. Like, I think he's going to be a good value proposition. He's gone 130 and 122 in his last two games after he came back from that 18 from his concussion. So you're getting him at a good price point, and that's like if you're shopping in that aisle at Aldi and you can't go to Woolies and get the expensive stuff, then you pick someone that does have the upside. But I certainly am not going to sit here and kind of confirmation bias people into thinking that you're getting 105 averaging defender for the rest of the year. He's good for the price, and he's underpriced at what he's currently at 430, but he's not as good as some of the other options that you would be getting. So it's what you can do with the difference in the cash that should be dictating whether you're getting him or not. I wouldn't be like, if you've got the cash and you can pick someone that's more expensive than Ridley, that's a bona fide premium, that like it's a clear no-brainer for me.
All right, you heard it here first. Chizu said Ridley's going to go 104. Awesome. Any other points, Chizu, or you want to take up the wrap-up?
Dawson, this week?
Oh, Dawson. Yeah, that's the guy I'm trading in. Yes.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of us that are going to be going Ford and Dawson, and then the third one is going to be like a Wardlaw or a Briggs or someone else in that spot.
Yeah, look, Dawson, it's rare to have guys that got 150 upside in Supercoach, and three 150 pluses this year. He was,
yeah.
Well, he was smashing it at halftime. I was like, uh-oh, what was he on, 78?
Yeah.
I was like, it's another 150. He's not going to drop in price. He could pull that out on any game, and I think Crows, we spoke about last week, have a pretty great draw for the next 5 weeks. I think their only hard game was against Collingwood. So six games. But yeah, it's a great draw. It's opened up. Led's now potentially suspended, so the midfield is his.
Yeah.
I just think
Eagles in the grand final too.
There we go. It's just all, that's a big prediction. Think West Coast is going to make the eight, let alone make the grand final.
Shut up.
Dawson's a fantastic pick. He's got a break even that's achievable. He's sub 600K for the first time in a long time, and I think now's the time to swoop in.
Yeah, I think it makes it hard. Crows reference, good there, Pistol.
Yeah,
I like that.
Thank you. On purpose as well.
Do crows swoop? Yeah, sure they do. The problem would be if you don't get him this week because you've got other stuff to do, because there's people that are talking about doing a triple downgrade. They're going to do Ford, Briggs, and Wardlaw this week. Build that cash that we've had. Yeah. The thing is, you get 2 weeks of Dawson before his bye, whereas next week you're only getting 1 week before his bye, and it sort of makes it a bit more difficult to stomach bringing in someone for 1 week right before their bye, and goes against like the common way of playing Supercoach through the byes. So even though he's got a high break even to 130 this week, like there's every chance that he's going to make that, and it's not like you're going to get him a whole lot cheaper next week anyway. If you were in your situation, Pistol, you've got 400k less team value than what I do because you're struggling for that cash gen. Are you foregoing someone like Dawson in a really ideal time to pick him up in order to do a triple downgrade, for example?
Nope.
Not saying that you are, but what if you were in that situation, what would you
which
be doing?
Which I am in. I'm still grabbing Dawson, and I will pick my poison for my last two upgrades and try and get cheap players there. I'm already... The buys are a great time to kind of slow play, just build your bank, get your rookies and structure right so that you can strike at the end of round 15 when they finish. I mean, Cripps is going to be cheap. I know people can't pick him because of the round 15 buy, but if you wait until after the round 15 buy, you can pick all these guys that might be really good value that you weren't able to, you know, upgrade to before the buy because of the buy. So, yeah, if looking at Mills, looking at Cripps, I don't know what Hewitt will get to. It depends how dire my cash situation is. But all these guys are going to be really, really good value. So I'll take the Dawson because if he goes on a string of 150s, he will absolutely destroy my rank in my season. And, I mean, Cripps is going to do that to me anyway. But then I'll look at, Cripps and Mills and the like as my last spots on my field.
Sure. There's one more layer to this that I think it's important to know. With Laird out this week, and let's say that his challenge is unsuccessful, Laird and Sicily out, you've also got players that don't have that have held Oliver. So there's a lot of top teams that have held Oliver. If you've held Oliver, you're going to be so low on premiums that it's going to be difficult to lose, difficult to kind of hold rank this week. So you want to be bringing in a premium, and a top premium like Dawson with VC and C capabilities is obviously huge. So there's that kind of aspect to it. But you've also got players that with Oliver reportedly like in full training, potentially back this week, hasn't been ruled out, but likely next week before his bye. Like just blanket, there's every chance he could come back before his bye. If you've traded Oliver, the way to kind of keep ahead of those that have held him is to make sure you stay one premium ahead because they've permanently got that premium on the bench. So you want to be bringing in someone this week as well, because if Oliver's back next week and you didn't upgrade, you did a triple downgrade, you might as well have held Oliver.
Yeah, I guess so. It does make sense in a way, but it's also confusing.
Yeah, in terms of points, like you want to be staying that one premium ahead. So bringing another one this week when we're all like being hit so hard with not having premiums is going to be key for trying to stay points ahead of people that are chasing.
But why don't you just not pick people that get suspended or injured?
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's right.
If only I could see the future, Pistol. Thanks. Thanks for that, mate. Thanks,
that's
champ.
That's what you get on the Dr. Supercoach podcast. Some classic advice, like don't pick players who get suspended or injured. Easy.
Welcome to Chizo's champs, Pistol, because you're a champ for that. Yeah, that pretty much wraps up the episode this week, Pistol, unless you got any final thoughts.
No, that was everything in my brain.
Beautiful. Good. Thank you for sitting down in this round 12, kind of a little bit more of a relaxed chit chat as there's less structure and less planning to kind of go ahead this week. A few rookie downgrade options, potentially the likes of Dawson to be upgrading to. Thanks for sticking along so far, and get ready for the ride of the buys because it's going to be a bumpy one. We'll see you all in the next Dr. Supercoach podcast.